Live from the Java House in downtown Iowa City, this is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Beginning June 1st, bar owners in Iowa City will have to prohibit anyone under the age of 21 from entering their establishments. Those for and against the ordinance are gearing up for a referendum in the fall. This hour, we examine the problem of binge and underage drinking with University of Iowa Vice President of Student Services Tom Rockland and a University of Iowa student who led the effort to have the issue placed on the November ballot. Do you think bars should be able to allow patrons under the drinking age? What is your experience enjoying or avoiding the sometimes rowdy nightlife on college campuses? Our conversation gets started right after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and today we're broadcasting live from the Java House in downtown Iowa City. It's a chance for us to bring Iowa Public Radio out to a public space where people have conversation. And you're welcome to join us if you're close by. We're at 211 East Washington Street in downtown Iowa City. Today we focus on a problem that has plagued Iowa City for many years, but not a problem that is unique to this particular university community. In fact, it's a problem present at many universities known for their party atmospheres. It's the problem of irresponsible binge and sometimes underage drinking. The University of Iowa has consistently ranked as one of the country's top party schools. In the latest rankings by the Princeton Review, Iowa comes in at number 12 in the country. Playboy magazine's latest rankings puts the home of the Hawks at number 10 in the country's list of top party schools. What's the dark side of the party? Well, according to the Annual Review of Public Health, more than 1,700 college students in the United States are killed each year as a result of alcohol-related injuries. That's almost five per day. Few worrying statistics, specifically from Iowa City, 70% of UI students report binge drinking. The number of female binge drinkers has doubled since 2007. UI students routinely wind up in the police blotter for underage drinking and public intoxication. Alcohol-related calls to the police about the downtown have increased over 20% in the past 5 years. Beginning June 1st, that's next Tuesday, bar owners in Iowa City will have to prohibit anyone under the age of 21 from entering their establishments after 10 p.m. or face the consequences, an action taken by the Iowa City City Council earlier this year. Now, the issue goes before voters in the general election this fall. It looks likely to do that. We have a number of people joining us to discuss both sides of the debate over the 21-only ordinance and how to make a more responsible drinking climate in Iowa City and other college campuses. Joining us is Matt Falsgraf. He is one, and Raj Patel. Raj Patel is joining us by phone. Raj, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome. Raj Patel and Matt Falsgraf are co-directors of the organization Yes to Entertaining Students Safely. It goes by the acronym YESS, Yes. They are students who have led the initiative to put the 21-only ordinance on the November ballot. Matt, welcome to you. You're here at the Java House.
Oh, thank you.
Tom Rockland is with us, Vice President of Student Services for the University of Iowa. Vice President Rockland, thank you for making time for us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Ben.
Also joining us, Marty Christensen. He is owner of The Mill, an eating and drinking establishment, and, of course, a legendary live music venue in Iowa City. Marty Christensen, owner of The Mill, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Ben.
Listeners, we'd also like you to join our conversation, whether you're listening at home in your car or whether you're in our audience here at the Java House. Join our conversation this hour. Do you think bars should be able to allow patrons under the drinking age before or after 10 o'clock? What is your experience enjoying or avoiding the sometimes rowdy nightlife on college campuses? And how do we encourage more responsible drinking in college towns? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. And you can also find us on Twitter at IPR Talk. Well, let's start off with the nature of the problem. If we can agree on something, perhaps we can do it right at the beginning of the hour, is that Iowa City has a drinking problem. The statistics state that clearly. I'd like to start with you, Vice President Rockland. How do you characterize the nature of Iowa City's drinking problem?
I think there's a couple of facets to the problem, Ben. One is that we have a group of students who drink a lot, both in frequency and in the amount they consume. I know that alcohol is part of the college experience for many students, and we sometimes get a little bit blindsided in Iowa City by our own experience. Our students drink almost 1.5 times as much each time they sit down as the average college student. So our students have a problem with drinking, but I think it's important to remember that you mentioned 70% of our students are binge drinkers. They're only 30%, though, of the public intox bookings. So the problem in Iowa City goes way beyond our students. We're a destination city for drinkers, particularly for underage drinkers and for people who want to drink a lot in an evening.
So you're saying, to get a better picture of that, so underage drinkers being drawn into Iowa City as a party town from communities around Iowa City?
Absolutely. When I meet with my counterparts from around the state, they either express concern about their students driving here and then driving home drunk, or they thank me for taking the problem here instead of in their town.
Raj Patel joining us by phone. How would you characterize the nature of Iowa City's drinking problem?
I definitely believe that we do have a drinking problem in Iowa City, but we clearly voiced our opinions 3 years ago saying that the 21 ordinance was not an appropriate measure for Iowa City. And the reasons we're pushing for a vote today are the same reasons presented 3 years ago. There are viable solutions, however, we must begin to foster a culture of social responsibility and nightlife alternatives. We've seen great successes in our community when we've had these social alternatives. We've had the Lupe Fiasco concert, Hawkapalooza. We've had Dance Marathon. We've had the IMU Orange Bowl party. These alternatives rallied hundreds and thousands of students in safe, enjoyable environments, and we must continue to move in this direction to positively curb binge drinking.
Okay, Raj Patel, thank you for that, giving us a preview of what we want to do this hour. We do want to talk about solutions. First of all, we're still on, if I can back up a little bit, on the nature of this problem. Marty Christensen, owner of the mill, how do you see the nature of this problem, adding to what Vice President Rockland has said?
Well, I'm not sure I have a lot to add other than just my perspective. I came to school or started school here in Iowa City 28 years ago, and I think that the perception and the behaviors have not changed that much. I think it's the standards of the community and society that are really moving.
So when I list the statistics, as I did there in the introduction, it seems to show an increase, but you're saying same old drinking behavior.
Well, my memories of 28 years ago, I don't perceive it as being much different of an environment. Statistics may be solid, but that's my personal perception.
Can I ask you about that, Marty? I came to town 24 years ago, but not as a student. Mm-hmm. When you were a student here, did you know a lot of other students who every weekend drank 7 to 10 drinks?
7 to 10. Well, I don't want to implicate myself for who I was hanging out with, but
that's 12 people, I'm sure.
Certainly I was not necessarily on that list. My perception, again, my perception was that a lot of my fellow students were drinking quite a bit, Friday, Saturday night. It wasn't, I think there's more of a Thursday night thing that's evolved.
Just to jump in here, Vice President Rockland, having been here 24 years, your perspective tells you that we do have a change from previous generations.
Yeah, and I think the big change is exactly that, is very heavy drinking on a single occasion. We've seen when a student gets in trouble with my office, the sanction always includes an educational component, and when they show up, they get an evaluation. We've seen an enormous increase in the blood alcohol content level that these students report from the incident they got in trouble for. So are there more people drinking? I'm not sure. But is the drinking more abusive? I'm pretty sure it is.
Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, or the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Our email, you can find us on Twitter, at IPR Talk. And let's let Matt Falsgraf in on this. You wanted to comment?
Yeah, students don't come here drinking 8 beers, 10 beers, an evening, a night, you know, the very first day when they step on campus. I mean, this is the behavior that they learn from being on campus. But one thing that they do learn is from the adults and alumni that they associate with. And a huge part of that is at the, you know, Hawkeye football tailgatings that take place every Saturday morning. You have 70,000, 80,000 people that come to University of Iowa, and without really any interference at all from any authority figures, you know, drink copious amounts of alcohol without any ramifications whatsoever. And so during that fall semester, those are when they're learning these drinking habits, and it takes place on University of Iowa campuses. It takes place in the city. Mm-hmm. And from that, that kind of establishes them for the rest of their college career.
Vice President Rockland, that has to be a point, I don't know if I'd call it a sore point, but a problem that some would see as a glaring hypocrisy, with the university trying to get a handle on alcohol problems and at the same time putting $15, $16 million into a football program that has famous tailgating that features a lot of alcohol.
There's no doubt that our tailgating poses problems. Six Saturdays a year, it's just like Matt described, we have a lot of public drinking going on. The interesting thing to me is that we're not very different in our tailgating than a lot of other campuses, and yet we're pretty different in our consumption pattern. Lincoln, Nebraska, we might get a chance to talk more about them, but they have an enormous tailgating problem. They have a binge drinking rate a little bit more than half of ours among their students.
Mm-hmm. I disagree. I think like tailgating here is celebrated. I think it's a sort of pride where you see almost more T-shirts that have people's tailgates on them than have Iowa Hawkeye football. And it's from those behaviors that they learn when they're freshmen, because when they're freshmen, they're 18, they're not able to get into the bars. But what they are able to do is they're able to get onto a tailgate, like on the University of Iowa campus, which is supposed to be a dry campus but isn't enforced. You know, there's not supposed to be open containers, you know, people walking around the street, you know, here in Iowa City, but those laws aren't enforced.
Okay, we have to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about Iowa City's drinking problem and the new 21-only ordinance. We want to focus on that when we return in just a minute. As of June 1st, next Tuesday, bar owners in Iowa City will have to prohibit anyone under the age of 21 from entering their establishments after 10 p.m., and that will go, it looks like, to be a referendum in the fall. We want your opinion on this. What is your experience enjoying or avoiding the sometimes rowdy nightlife on college campuses? We'd like to hear your story. 1-866-780-9100, our toll-free number, 1-866-780-9100. Email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. When we come back, is the 21-only ordinance part of the solution to Iowa City's drinking problem? I'll pose that to our guests, that question, when we come back. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. Back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and today we're talking about Iowa City's drinking problem, emblematic of drinking problems you find in many large campuses, university communities around the country, and a new 21-only ordinance. If you'd like to join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. And beginning next Tuesday, bar owners in Iowa City will have to prohibit anyone under the age of 21 from entering their establishments after 10 p.m., or face the consequences. This is a hotly debated topic in Iowa City. Will be increasingly debated as we go towards the fall. But I want to get the reaction to this from our guests. We have Vice President Tom Rocklin of Student Services for the University of Iowa, Marty Christensen, the owner of the mill, and two students who have led an initiative to put the 21 ordinance on the November ballot. Let me go to Raj Patel, who is joining us by phone, one of the students who led the initiative to put this ordinance on the ballot. It looks like it will be on the ballot in November. Raj, what do you think about the 21-only ordinance? Part of the solution? Not so, I imagine.
No, I believe the 21 ordinance is a Band-Aid to a problem that required stitching. I believe that this was a lazy endeavor by the City Council and the University of Iowa administration. The University and the City Council believes that this was a positive step to curbing binge drinking. However, this couldn't be further from the truth. As Regina Bailey stated, if you push the bubble down in one spot, it'll only pop up somewhere else. And what she was meaning by that is that this ordinance pushed students to parties further from campus, forcing them to make dark and unsafe journeys. These house parties will provide little control, no drink quotas, and few emergency personnel nearby. The risks of a 21 ordinance are far too great, and I won't sit back and watch us gamble with the safety and health of our students and our community. And by opposing this ordinance, we are standing up for the University of Iowa community.
Okay, Raj Patel, thank you for that statement. I recognize that from your press release, as a matter of fact. Tim in Cedar Rapids is joining us. Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yes, your reaction to the 21 ordinance and the Iowa City's drinking problem. What are your observations here?
Well, honestly, I mean, this is like a dead debate. I mean, it's been going on in Iowa City for a long time, and I used to work in local television in the community station in Iowa City. And they were having this debate years ago, and they've been having it for a long time now, and it's not taking anybody anywhere. I mean, the simple truth is that house parties are insane. I had one of the biggest house parties in Iowa City once, and I mean, the things that happen at those things are just insane. You might as well get these youngsters out into the bars, at least where the police can pick them up when they start going crazy. I mean,
Tim, what do you think about this idea that Raj just put forth, that if you make it 21 only in the bars, it pushes the bubble out to house parties, makes those house parties worse?
Well, there's quite a difference here because there's so many people making the case who don't go out and party. I mean, you really have to walk in the shoes of an Iowa City drunk to really get the experience there. I mean, house parties, you shouldn't worry about those. Those will just keep going, you know, indefinitely. And the kids who are downtown, if they want to drink, they'll drink. And, I mean, the thing is, Iowa City is just a pretty boring place. It's easy to walk from one place to another. So you've got ideal conditions for getting completely trashed.
Okay, Tim from Cedar Rapids, thank you very much. Vice President Rockland wants to respond to probably a couple of points at least there.
Thanks, Ben. I think I would. I love Councilmember Bailey's balloon analogy because I think it is helpful. If you press down on the downtown, you can expect some spread. But you have another option with balloons, which is to press down on all sides. And I think that's what the community is expecting, that we squeeze the balloon from all sides and reduce the total volume of the problem. The other thing that I think is important to keep in mind is that we're not going to improve the situation with single tactics. We're going to do many things to improve the situation in Iowa City. And so saying instead of a 21 ordinance we should do something different doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because we have the option of doing a 21 ordinance and a lot of other things.
I want to be clear, too, that this ordinance is different from the two which have been previously proposed, because in the past the president of the University of Iowa and the faculty have not formally offered their support. In this case, the University of Iowa, Vice President Rockland, is offering support. What is the nature of the support?
Well, I think we spoke very clearly to the council, saying that we believe this ordinance will improve the community that most of us live in and be an aid to keeping our students healthy and safe.
Okay. Marty Christensen, owner of The Mill, what is your perspective on the 21-only ordinance? How will it change business for you, affect your bottom line?
Well, first I would just want to say that, you know, foundationally, I think there's a lot of people agree that, you know, prohibition was a failed experiment, you know. People will find a way to drink if they're motivated to do so, and I do believe this is more a cultural and societal issue. These things are harder to solve with legislation. That said, there's I think an important part of this too is the economic outcomes. At least in the short term, there's a large number of downtown Iowa City bar owners that I think make a lot of money by admitting 19-year-olds, not necessarily by selling them alcohol, but a cover charge at the door just to get in. Huge amount of money there, and a lot of those bigger property tax contributing businesses are probably going to fail. I think it may affect in the short term potentially U of I students You know, there's a lot of people, I think, who might attend this school not because of its academic excellence, but but also, to some extent, because of the lure of the party school atmosphere. And I know that that's probably been in everyone's mind, but it is a harsh reality, and I'm interested to see the effects downstream. You know, as an owner of the mill, our model, business model, is not focused on alcohol. Our sales are almost 50-50, slightly more alcohol than food, and have been that way since I bought it 6 years ago. It's going to change our business model in terms of, because we're primarily an entertainment venue, in fact, and sell a lot of food and alcohol in relationship to those events, we're going to have to make this hard decisions about, this show is going to be all ages, it's got to be done by 10 p.m., needs to start at 7, 6 p.m. You know, I think Hancher events start at 8 p.m. It's going to make us have to choose the demographic under 21, over, or, you know, and focus shows on one or the other. I think a lot of shows that have a broader appeal, you know, you're going to lose that. It may affect the amount of money that we can offer to some of the bigger touring acts we've been bringing to town.
A lot of voices to be heard, very little time. We have a couple minutes before our break. Let's go to Brad, who's calling from Grinnell. Hi, Brad.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, Brad.
I've got two children that attend the University of Iowa. One is of drinking age and the other is a minor. I can tell you from experience and in sweating it out over the last several years, listening to the stories that my children tell about the parties they go to as well as the downtown scene in the bars, my 18-year-old daughter never has a problem getting into bars, let alone drinking in bars. Never been an issue other than my worrying constantly. My son tells me that on his 21st birthday, there's two different bars downtown that offer 21 pitchers of beer for $21 on your 21st birthday. Now that tells me right there that the problem dynamic that the bar owners are pretty permissive. And I also agree with the statement made earlier about the Hawkeye tailgating parties. We come from a small town of Grinnell. A lot of the parents that attend those tailgating parties from Grinnell are very permissive, and they allow all sorts of underage drinking, which I just can't believe that they would take that kind of risk, being adults and the possible liability involved. I think the irony here is that my fiance and I own a little wine bar out in the country, and we absolutely do not allow anyone under 21 without their parents. That just kind of takes care of the whole situation. I think Iowa City and the underage drinking and the fines that they impose upon these kids when they are caught drinking or they have alcohol in their breath generates a lot of income for that municipality, for the police department, and I think they're all kind of in cahoots. I really believe that.
Thank you for your opinion from Grinnell. And before we go, just to make it clear to perhaps listeners who are scratching their heads, how do you drink underage in a bar? Well, what happens when five students walk into a bar? It sounds like the beginning of a joke, but it's certainly not. Five students walk into a bar. One of them is 21 or older. The others are not. How do they drink? Matt.
Well, I'm going to go back also to...
Just a minute. We've got about a minute break.
How do they
I want to clear this point up. Marty, perhaps you can help.
You're allowed to buy two drinks,
yeah.
And you have to show an ID for that. And so each person can buy two drinks at a time.
But if you pass it to the 20-year-old on your left, there's a blind eye turned.
If you're at an apartment or house party, you can buy a case of beer and pass it to the
person. I'm talking about
on your
in
left.
A drinking establishment, if you pass the drink to the person to your left who is 19 or 20 years old, what happens?
Well, I think it's incredibly hard to monitor when you have 500, you know, in those bigger bars, 500 people in the room. Secondly, there's a lot of fake IDs, and 21 only is going to be ineffective against that issue.
Trying to come to grips with Iowa City's drinking problem, emblematic of a lot of problems on campuses around the country. If you'd like to join our conversation about this new 21 only ordinance, 1-866-780-9100, our toll-free number. You can find us on Twitter at IPR Talk. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is The Exchange. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News, and today we're broadcasting live from the Java House in downtown Iowa City. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, focusing on the problem that has plagued Iowa City for many years, though a problem not unique to this college campus. In fact, it's a problem present at many universities known for their party atmospheres, irresponsible, binge, underage drinking. And, for instance, Playboy magazine's latest rankings put the home of the Hawks at number 10 in the top party schools of the country. Statistics show binge drinking is on the rise in Iowa City, as is the number of alcohol-related calls to the police about the downtown. One reaction has come. The beginning June 1st, next Tuesday, bar owners in Iowa City will have to prohibit anyone under the age of 21 from entering their establishments after 10 p.m. This issue looks like it will go before the voters in the general election in the community of Iowa City in the fall. We have a number of guests talking and debating this topic and also how to make a more responsible drinking climate in Iowa City and other such communities. Matt Fallsgrass is with us, one of the students who led the initiative to put the 21 ordinance on the November ballot. Tom Rockland, Vice President of Student Services for the University of Iowa. Marty Christensen, owner of The Mill, an eating and drinking establishment in Iowa City. And before we continue with our conversation, I want with our guests, I want to mention a tweet that came in. You can find us on Twitter at IPR Talk. This tweet goes, if the underage 21-year-olds are going to house parties, doesn't that increase the risk of big riots like the one we had in Ames a few years ago? Well, I want to leave that to be answered perhaps by the interview that I have right now before we continue our discussion. A short interview I did with Larry Reynolds of Charleston, Illinois, home of Eastern Illinois University. Charleston found itself with similar student drinking problems several years ago, and Larry Reynolds was a city councilor, liquor advisory commission member at the time the 21 ordinance there was implemented. I began by asking Larry Reynolds to take us back to 1994 and describe the bar scene in Charleston, Illinois, before that city invoked its 21-only ordinance.
Well, one of the problems that we had was in the state of Illinois, the legal drinking age is 21. We had an entry age of 18, and it was almost impossible to enforce the state drinking age simply because once they were in the bar, they would drink one way or the other, whether they would be served directly or whether a friend would buy something and hand it to them. It was very difficult to enforce. We had situations where not only were 18-year-olds getting in, but we also had some younger high school students that were getting in. We had bar fights, particularly at closing time. We had people ending up in the emergency room as a result of it. We had Eastern Illinois University listed on Playboy's list of top 10 party schools of the Midwest. And we had residents who were not happy with the loud noises as people left the bars at 1 a.m. Wandering through their neighborhoods, urinating on their lawns, and those kinds of things.
How much of a battle was it to get the 21 ordinance passed? Did it pass the first time, or did it go over years?
It passed the first time that it was brought to the council. In 1990, there was a liquor advisory commission appointed by the council to study the issue, and I was on that commission. We spent, I think, the better part of a year studying it, and at the conclusion of that, by one vote, the recommendation was not to raise the entry age. However, there were some strong recommendations of some changes to the liquor ordinance having to do with keg laws and posting of signs in the bar about the fact that you must be 21 to drink and those kinds of things. That recommendation was accepted by the city council. And then a new mayor came into office, and he appointed another liquor advisory commission to study it again. And the outcome at that point in time was they recommended that the entry age be raised to 21. It passed. There are five people on the council, the mayor and four other members, and I can't. There was one vote against it. I know there may have been two votes against it, but it did pass.
Has it ever been put to a vote before the people of the community of Charleston?
No, it never has.
See, that's the difference between Iowa City and Charleston, because it was attempted once in Iowa City, put before a vote, and the bar owners, others. We're able to mobilize young voters to vote in their direct interest to continue to drink, and because other voters didn't turn out, it was defeated.
Sure, I understand how that goes. One of the things we've found here in Charleston, although that particular issue was never on the ballot, the students a lot of times will sound like they're very interested in some issue, like, for example, defeating a particular member for city council or something like that. They may even go to the trouble of registering to vote, but they don't show up at the polls.
What changes have you seen in the community in Charleston after this was passed that you can directly attribute to passing the 21-only ordinance?
The number of bar fights at closing time of the bars has dropped dramatically. The traffic in the emergency room at the hospital has dropped. Eastern is no longer listed on Playboy's list of the top 10 party schools in the Midwest. And, in fact, for the last several years, it's been on U.S. News and World Report's list of the top best buys for an undergraduate education in the Midwest. We've seen an improvement in the quality of the students that attend Eastern. We've seen a lot more community involvement by the Eastern students.
What if, let's just say, for example, I'm a bar owner and really only interested, those other things are nice, Larry, but I'm really interested in my bottom line. What can you say to me then?
Well, we did not have any bars close after the entry age was raised. There are some bar owners, I think, who would rather it not have been raised. On that second Liquor Advisory Commission that recommended raising the entry age, one of the members of that commission owned a bar, and he voted in favor of raising the entry age.
Mm-hmm. What did the opposition to this 21 ordinance say would happen when this was being debated, thought about in Charleston, Illinois?
The economy would go south. There would be many, many more house parties. There would be more vandalism, those kinds of things. None of those things really materialized. The house parties, I don't think there was a big effect one way or the other on the house parties. However, one of the things that it did is it freed up the police officers to spend more time patrolling neighborhoods than being at the bars.
Did you see any negative effects in the community after the ordinance? On balance, it's clear that you're in favor of the 21-only ordinance, but are there any negative effects you see at all?
I have not seen any.
Larry Reynolds, I want to thank you very much for describing the situation in Charleston, and in some ways a very similar situation to Iowa City. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Larry Reynolds of Charleston, Illinois, home of Eastern Illinois University. 1994, they went to a 21-only ordinance. And I'd like to get some reaction, especially from Matt Falsgraf, because here we see in your press release, the students who want an initiative, who have an initiative to put this on the ballot in November, it's characterized, the ordinance is characterized as a Band-Aid, a lazy endeavor to a more serious problem. Now, at this community, Charleston, Illinois, Eastern Illinois University, we hear that it seems to have been a big part of the solution. What's your reaction to hearing that conversation, Matt?
Well, I don't know the city of Charleston or Eastern Illinois, so I don't know if we're comparing apples to apples with University of Iowa and the problems that we face here. Also, going back that it happened 16 years ago, you know, I can't really comment because I don't know enough about it other than the interview from the person who was obviously
We talked about the bubble theory, that you press one side of the bubble and it goes up in the other part. It seemed to be that it didn't happen in this particular community, and you're right, this is only one community. Maybe it's unlike Iowa City in some other ways that we haven't mentioned. Tom Rockland, vice president at the University of Iowa, your reaction to the interview?
I think Matt's exactly right. We don't know if we'll have the same experience that Charleston did, but it's more likely we'll have that experience than one that we're just imagining. I think it is instructive to us, and I'm particularly taken by the fact that this grew out of a lot of community discussion, and I would argue the same is true here in Iowa City, that we've been talking about this for a long time, and I think there have been good arguments presented on both sides, and the council's moved forward, and in the fall it's likely that the community as a whole will move forward.
Okay, I want to invite our audience here at the Java House. Also, if you're listening at home or in your car, join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Find us on Twitter at IPR Talk. A member of our audience here is stepping forward. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Rachel Hirsch.
Hi, Rachel. And what interests you about this discussion are you?
I'm actually a senior at the university. I am the president of what has been categorized as a social sorority, Alpha Chi Omega, though we are much more than social. And I'm also a leadership grad. So I've met VP Rockland before and have talked to him about this topic. And it is an important one. I can't say that it's not. I know it's a problem. I've also had, I was in the fraternity sorority life class, so it's a leadership class, and I got to read your report as well. So I had that pleasure. But I just wanted to talk to you about alcohol education, because when you come into school, you have to do alcohol EDU. And this is, you know, a common quote that I've heard around campus. People say that alcohol EDU drives them to drink. It's very long. It's, you can't really interact with it.
Let's get a description of alcohol EDU is now mandatory. It's a two-part online course that all undergraduates entering for the summer or fall semester in 2010 have been required if they haven't reached to take, if they haven't reached the age of 21. What is the goal of this implementing this new mandatory online course, alcohol EDU?
Well, we've been doing alcohol EDU for 4 or 5 years now. What we've done is expand it to transfer students. But it's a evidence-based program, and I know that students don't like it, and I don't think it's very much fun, frankly. On the other hand, we do know from students' own reports that they learn from it, they can answer the post-test questions better than they could answer the pre-test questions, and that it changes their behavior in the direction of safety. If we could find a similar product that had the same evidence base and was fun, I'd be all for it.
You're saying it's not working, though.
Well, I don't know if it's not working, but I think that a lot of people cheat their way out of it, but I have a possible solution, maybe. My brother is a student at Illinois State. They do not have the bars there. But one thing that they do have that is very fun and entertaining, they have a program where they have students who are 21 come in and they drink, like, on stage. And they show the effects, because I think one thing is, we don't really know the effects. We can answer the test questions. That's right. We're all students. We can study. But we don't know the effects. And we've all had to try on, like, drunk goggles for, you know, driver's ed and things like that. But we don't know the real effects coming in. I never drank in high school. I came to college.
May I ask if you're 21 yet?
I am 21. I just turned 21 2 weeks
ago. So you've had your first drink within the last few days.
Yes. you know, and it is a problem on campus, but I never knew anything. I never knew how it would affect me. I'm a small woman. I only weigh 100 pounds. But, like, I didn't know how much was appropriate for me to drink, you know? But I think if we saw, you know, something in front of us, something that we were interested in, it's a little bit funny. I actually had the I got to attend one of these with my brother when I went to go visit. And the students were very entertained, and it was very interactive, and I think that would be something that would be much better.
So how, perhaps a better product for that. Quickly, Vice President Rockland, because we want to hear some other voices. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for the suggestion. We'll look into it. But I want to be careful when we talk about all of these solutions, not to treat them as either or, but to treat them as both. And if something is helpful, we should do it. If there's something else that's helpful, we should do that too.
Matt Falsgraf, you are against the, you and your group are against the 21-only ordinance, but part of what you're for is increased alcohol awareness, as we're talking about right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's important and what really has escaped this whole discussion is, you know, how does a student drink? Like, what's their process, you know, when they go out for the night? And most of that starts when they're at their home or they're at an apartment party or a house party or they're meeting up with some friends, and that's when they consume the largest amounts of alcohol before they even step foot inside of a bar. When they get downtown, they might have like two or three when they're down there because they've been drinking since 7 o'clock at a house party. And that's what has to be confronted here. It has to be the pre-gaming, the drinking before you step foot in the bar, because when you're at a bar, you have trained people that are sober, gauging how much you've had to drink at the door. You've had bartenders, waitresses that if they serve you and you've drank too much, they can be legally held responsible for that. Whereas beforehand, if you're at a house party, like there's nothing there to stop you. And so it's that people's education and really just driving home the fact that it's your decisions before you even step foot out of your own home that really
Your comment makes me wonder why bar owners and the servers who work at bars, you say they're responsible for people who might drink too much. Aren't they also responsible for those who drink underage under their roofs? Marty Christensen, you're a bar owner.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, I mean, at the mill, I'm very proud to say, you know, we don't serve to minors. It's the last thing we want to do. We want to be disassociated from places where that might happen. I think.
So the if there's a group, and one person orders a lot of drinks, everybody at the table gets carded?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But I think the staff, the extent to which the staff take very seriously their responsibility as individual servers is something where there's a great variance in different venues, different bars in town.
Yeah. I have a final point on this. There's already a law set up that if you serve to minors, they do kind of stings on different establishments where they will have somebody come in, try to order a drink, and if they don't get asked to be carded or they serve that minor, they get written up and they could lose their alcohol license. And the bars go through the same process as any restaurant, any grocery store, any gas station. And so if they were serving directly to minors and the great amounts that they are claimed to be, more bars would be shut down because they would be identified. But what the problem is that somebody goes and buys the drinks and then spreads it out to their other friends. And
Vice President Rockland.
So a couple of things, Matt. First of all, we know that that's part of the problem. Another part of the problem is that there are a lot of underage patrons who don't present a fake ID but are marked as legal and drink within the bar in some of our downtown bars. I'm looking at a list of seven bars here, each of which averages over one Paula per enforcement visit, which suggests to me that a lot of underage students are drinking in bars. Whether it's controllable or not when you have 500 people in bars is an open question, but it doesn't seem to be being controlled.
Matt, you're a co-director of Yes to Entertaining Students Safely against this 21 only ordinance. Is your organization, first of all, I want to compliment Marty Christensen for coming on the program because we extended numerous invitations to bar owners, and many of them, with the exception of Marty, declined to be a guest on this show. Is your student organization, Yes, working with bar owners come fall, coordinating the vote to get out the vote against 21? Are you working with the bar owners?
We're working with downtown businesses, working with different community members, we're working with students. There's really no point of the community that is not having a say or a voice like in our organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a citywide election. It's not a downtown Iowa City election. So
yeah, but in any referendum, you would find allies. Your allies are business owners, bar owners in this case.
There's more 21 and up bars that are working with us, and there are 19 and up bars.
Let's go to Mary in Ollie, is it, joining our conversation. Just a few moments left of our program. Mary, good afternoon. Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my comments. And as an advocate for keeping youth out of bars until they are of age, I have to say I have two adult children who live in Iowa City, one a recent graduate of the University of Iowa. Am I still there?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, good, good. You're too quiet. At any rate, I do believe that it is a misnomer to say that students need to be allowed in the bars so that they don't go to house parties. 40 years ago, I was a young adult living in Iowa City, and there were house parties that were not out of control. And I will say that I think it's ridiculous to think that law enforcement doesn't have more freedom going in to shut down house parties and keep youth safe, as opposed to bar owners turning a blind eye. And I'm not accusing the gentleman who's a guest on your show today of that. I love the mill, incidentally. But I will tell you that house parties are the way to go. Keep under 21-year-olds out of the bars. Older patrons will come back and come into the bars again. They'll get a much better clientele, a much more civilized clientele, if they allow only 21-year-olds and older to come in.
Mary, do you your comment makes me think that you think that older clientele, middle-aged clientele, are being scared off because of the the raucous atmosphere that exists perhaps in Iowa City on a Friday or Saturday night.
I've talked to older friends who live in Iowa City who say that very thing, that they no longer feel welcome in the downtown bars during the school year because of the raucousness of the underagers in the bars. And I think that if bar owners are concerned about their bottom line, they had better look at the older clientele who will repopulate those bars and will not end up fighting over girls outside on the front sidewalk. Also, I want to make a quick comment about the quality, the drunkenness of the Iowa fans. I have worked as a volunteer in a nonprofit food stand at the Kinnick, and I'm absolutely shocked at the drunkenness and the bad reputation that the Iowa University Hawkeye fans have around the nation. And I have seen firsthand how they treat visiting team fans, and I am just sickened.
Mary, yours will have to be the last voice in our program. Thank you for calling and joining the exchange today. And I want to thank our guests here. Early we had Raj Patel, Matt Falsgraf, Tom Rockland, Vice President of Student Services at the University of Iowa. Marty Christensen, thank you all for joining the conversation, those who sent us an email, a tweet, or joined our conversation as we broadcast live from the Java House in downtown Iowa City with this special edition of The Exchange, produced by Lindsay Moon, Catherine Perkins, Jeff Schmidt, and Alex Hoyer. Production assistance from Rosalind Sixby. Technical support from Dennis Reese. Podcasting and on-demand audio of The Exchange available by going to iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.